Good afternoon.
Hello, Elias.
And what shall we discuss this day?
Well, I wanted to start off with something we talked about at the end of my last session, which was using enough or satisfaction.
Very well.
I've been practicing with it in particular over the last few days, and I get a sense that there's quite a bit of power in it.
I would agree.
And it's also makes me very much more, or makes me more aware of how often I am actually focusing on lack.
I see.
It stands out more. And I'm actually pretty amazed at how, and what I'm referring to is here is how I've trained my attention to notice what is not here or not there, particularly in certain situations. And it doesn't require thought, and so it has been not so easy to recognize the habit, although I can. It explains a lot, and I could see, you know, how it occurs now.
That is excellent. For this is what I have been expressing for a considerable time framework. The point is, and the reason that I emphasize this to such a degree, is that you are correct. You don't think about it. You merely do it. You generate these associations and move your attention in the direction of that lack automatically, and you don't think about it. And therefore, that is the reason that it is so important to be intentionally directing your attention and to be focusing your attention on that satisfaction and enough, for you automatically are paying attention to what is not enough.
Right.
And don't generally even realize it.
No, I would just think I'm looking for something.
Yes. Or
without
even if are not looking for something, although that is, yes, a frequent occurrence, but in other moments, it can be as simple as becoming momentarily annoyed because the coffee pot is empty. Or you have to generate several extra steps to refill the paper in a machine. It occurs in your daily life so frequently in actions that you do routinely, and you don't notice how many of those actions are connected with that association of not enough. And time is a significant piece with that. Not enough time.
And is that, I can think of that in a few different ways, but one of the things that has been, like I can think about it in, as far as a deadline goes, but I could also think about it as an age, from an aging perspective.
Yes. I would express that once again in daily activities that you are generating that becomes a factor more times than you realize. If you are interrupted in something that you are doing, or if you are involved in some project or in some research and you have to stop to attend a meeting, or you are diverted in something that you are doing and your children are fighting and you have to stop what you are doing.
Oh my gosh. It's all encompassing.
Yes. All of these moments on a daily basis realize how automatically, without thinking, every one of those types of actions is another reinforcement of not enough.
Okay. So it seems like to me that the most fruitful thing to do at this point is to get as familiar as I can with this.
Yes.
Not this enough and this lack or not enough.
I agree. For in that, I would also acknowledge what you expressed in that when you are paying attention, it does encourage you to be more present. Therefore, they move hand in hand.
Right.
Lack moves hand in hand with moving you out of the present.
Yeah, I've noticed the effects I've noticed practicing this, but are different than what I've noticed with presence. Certainly not the noticings, but the way things have just flowed very smoothly to where it's almost where I don't notice anything until whatever I was doing was done, and I was like, wow, that was better than I expected it would go. Or
yes. I would very much agree that it does generate a considerable influence in the direction of flow. For your attention is not moving in that expression of thickness. You are allowing yourself to flow when you are satisfied and when you are expressing enough.
Okay, so I don't need to separate these. I can, just practicing on this is, I'm
yes.
not missing out on flow or.
Oh, all move together. It is all interconnected, which is what I have expressed also repeatedly. Everything you do is interconnected. Therefore, because it is all interconnected, no, you don't have to concentrate on all of the mechanics and every separate component of what you are doing, because it will all move together. When everything in your life at a particular time seems to be wrong and seems to be not working, you're not focusing on the mechanics of all of that. It merely flows and everything moves in that direction. When it rains, it pours.
I've noticed that it changes my perception on time when I guess that ties in, where and it seems like it's this whole outcome process discussion involved as well, where my motivation changes to, for an example, just even like practicing this on the bus, where it's more about enjoying the situation that I'm in than just, you know, waiting to get to where I'm going.
Precisely, precisely. And what I would express to you in that is, let me give you a very simple example that you and every other individual that has traveled to any destination, it matters not what it is, it could be work. You all have this experience in which traveling to seems to engage a longer time than traveling from. When you are traveling home, the time seems to move faster. The travel time seems to be faster.
Mm-hmm.
Want to go to a particular place, the time seems longer to arrive at your destination, and when you leave your destination, it seems to move much faster. The reason is that when you are traveling to, you are not being present. You are anticipating. That creates a thickness, and it creates a perception that time is moving slower. This occurs in so many situations. You can be generating a project, even one that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And while you are doing it, dependent upon what your attention is focused on, it is likely that if you are not being present, it may seem to incorporate more time to accomplish the outcome of what you are doing, and it may create a very mild frustration or anxious feeling. And that, when you are focused on what you are doing and not focused on the outcome,
mm-hmm.
time moves faster, or it seems to.
Right.
Then, for that, and in actuality, it is not that time moves faster or slower, but you move faster or slower. If you are engaging an activity and you are focused on the outcome of that activity or a project, you are much more likely to intermittently stop and think. And in that, you may be stopping and thinking for perhaps only 1 minute or 2 minutes, but you may be doing that several times. Therefore, you are actually adding time to the process. Whereas, if you are being present and you are focused on the process and what you are doing, the time seems to move much more quickly, and in actuality, you move more quickly, for you move in a smoother flow.
Okay. a few things about this is that at times it feels like the unsatisfactoriness or the habits are very, very strong. It's just a matter of sticking with it.
Yes, and I will express again, habits are developed by repetition,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they are broken by repetition in a different direction. Remember what we discussed previously in relation to how do you change what you don't believe
right. In
what you do believe by repetition.
Right. Been working with that a lot with trust.
Excellent. And what are you noticing with that?
I would not say that I notice, but maybe a lack of not noticing the doubting or the I have this association that I can very easily generate, which is I'm not going to create what I want. And that can get triggered very easily. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
That is very familiar, and I would express that you are in good company.
even though if I think about it rationally, where I seem to have gotten many, many things. I'm very familiar with it now, but let's say even a year ago, I was not, and it was overwhelming.
But this is with associations, is that with most associations, you don't think about them.
Right. I think the association is me thinking.
Yes, that also. Yes.
Because I remembered there was something, some sort of task or meditation or something that you had, and you said you had given me an example where you don't ask that question, and maybe it was the where am I or what am I, and it, you said it brings up the automatic association that it's an unanswerable question. And so I started playing around with that. I noticed that it did come up, but it felt like it was me thinking that. And so that was helpful.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are moving considerably quickly and expanding and becoming much more self-aware. Very rapidly.
Yeah, this whole enough and not enough is, it's been there the whole time, but it's been sort of under my radar for the most part.
In that, it can be a considerable subject to pay attention to and to be aware of. But as with anything, I would express that the more that you practice with it,
mm-hmm.
the easier and the more automatic it becomes.
You know, it's what also is interesting, the timing. I think this is the first time in about 6 months that we've had this call on our regularly scheduled time.
Another noticing of generating more flow.
Right, and that brings in the generating your intention successfully.
Definitely. And a significant piece of all of this is when you notice that you are moving in a different direction, in that direction of lack or not enough or not what you want, to not be opposing it. For that is automatic. Whenever you don't want something or don't like something, the automatic expression is to oppose it, to push against it. And the more you don't push against it, the less you make it important. And the less you make that not satisfied or not enough important, the easier it is for you to re-engage moving into that satisfaction and flowing into enough.
And that's tying in the acceptance with it. And it's easier to, if you can bring in the acceptance first, then you can bring in the satisfaction.
And let me reiterate once again, for this is a point that even to this present moment, most individuals are not entirely clear about. But once again, acceptance does not require or have to include agreement or liking it. You don't have to agree. And you don't have to like what the expression is or manifestation. It matters not. Whatever the subject is, you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to like it. And you can accept it. And also continue to hold your own opinion of not agreeing or disliking.
This reminds me of what is occurring a lot with my family.
How so?
It strikes me as very, I don't know what the word is, mundane. Like a lot of times, and the intensity level could be very high with the arguing. We've talked about that in the past, right? The kids arguing or arguing with my wife. And I maybe it's just the intensity level, but even like last night where there is this sense of overwhelm and this sort of wanting to get away from just a general uncomfortableness. And so it sounded like what you were describing was pretty much that example there, and remembering to accept it.
Yes, for in that, very well, in using that type of example, and you can feel considerably uncomfortable. You don't like it. You don't agree with what is occurring. You don't like it. It is uncomfortable. And the first response is wanting to get away, wanting it to stop. In that, the first response is retreat. For you.
Mm-hmm.
For another individual, it may not be. But in that, the retreat is the expression of the opposition. Let me express to you. You have heard the terminology likely many times in relation to individuals' automatic responses in relation to what they are uncomfortable with or what they view as a threatening situation, mm-hmm. which is fight, flight, freeze.
Right.
In that, all three of those expressions are oppositional. They don't seem to be, or two of them don't seem to be. Flight and freeze does not seem to be an action that would be oppositional, but they are. For in that, what you are doing inwardly and what you are doing with your energy is you are projecting this energy. I don't like this. I don't accept this. I don't want this. I am pushing away. When you have that impulse to retreat, the flight, that is push away. When you have that impulse of freeze, that is shield to push away. All of them are actions of opposition. Now, in that, if you can stop or pause in the moment, and acknowledge what you feel. That is such an important point. For this is the reason that you continue in those directions, because you are not acknowledging what you feel. If you can acknowledge what you feel, then your attention is not directed in that manner of that opposition. And then you can engage what choices you have, not what to do about the other individuals or the outside source, but what is beneficial for you. What are your choices in a particular situation? And what moves with your flow? You don't have to agree. You don't have to like it. And you can accept it. When you move in that direction, it gives you that differentiation of what you choose to involve yourself with and what you don't, because of what involves you directly or what isn't directly involving you. And as I expressed previously, in this, once again, it all moves interconnectedly with that not enough. But in this, it is automatic to involve yourself in a situation if it is bothersome to you, for your automatic direction is wanting it to stop and pushing away, which in another direction, interconnectedly, is that now this outside source is robbing you and you don't have enough peace. And that also, by extension, what you are expressing is that those outside sources are creating some aspect of your reality. Your reality is dependent on what they are doing. But it isn't.
Okay.
It only is if you allow it to be. And in that, what occurs? Everything is disruptive. Not enough time, not enough peace, not enough quiet, not enough calm, and not enough cooperation, which also leads into concentrating on what you don't like, what you don't want, which leads into what you want to run away from, which leads into other outside sources are generating your choices for you. You can't have what you want as long as those outside sources are doing what they're doing.
Okay, there's a lot of that.
Very small example of how interconnected everything is with all of you. In that, then there is the additional piece of the interconnected factor between yourself and all of these outside sources, that you are interconnected with them also.
So, if I can, in those moments, acknowledge what I'm feeling, accept it, and make my own choice, I'll create less of those uncomfortable situations in the future?
Yes. And in that, also accepting whatever is occurring with the outside source. Remembering, I don't have to like it, I don't have to agree with it, but I accept it for what it is, and then evaluate, am I directly involved? And if I am not, why would I directly involve myself?
And another question about what you mentioned, how I can retreat or try to retreat, because what ends up happening, I guess, is because that's a form of opposition, is then the conflict will follow me.
Yes.
Wherever
yes.
I go.
And it will.
Yes, it does.
Yes. You want to run away, but are continuing to involve yourself in running away, and you are expressing that oppositional energy, and what are you paying attention to? Are you paying attention to your peace, your comfort, or are you paying attention to the agitation and the conflict? If you are continuing to pay attention to the conflict and the agitation, you are very correct. It will follow you. For you always create more of whatever it is that you are paying attention to.
Okay. A another question on this is that in practicing this, noticing the lack and changing that to enough, it reminds me of, we talked about Lester Levinson and how he was changing his perception of other people to love, or his expression to love.
Yes.
And it strikes me that this is just a similar, very similar process.
It is, but what I would express to you is that would be the next step. That steps are moving yourself in the direction of being present and being aware of what you are paying attention to and what you are doing and what you are involving yourself with. In that, paying attention to enough and being satisfied rather than not enough and not being satisfied. And when you can accomplish doing that and maintaining that to a significant degree, then I would express you would be ready to move into that next step, which is a step beyond. And that would be incorporating that expression of actual love in every direction. This is, I would say, a step that very few individuals in your world at this point have accomplished yet. Before you can do that, you must move in the direction of genuine acceptance, which includes that genuine acceptance of yourself and your guidelines, that include duplicity, that include your assessments and your judgments in relation to different factors, that you're not eliminating that factor of duplicity and therefore accepting your own opinions and preferences, even when they are what you perceive to be negative. For once you move in those directions of that genuine acceptance, and you can maintain that in every direction, then you can actually begin expressing in a genuine manner that love in every direction, but you also understand that you can do that and you can also hold your own opinions, that they are not in conflict with each other, that what you think of as negative expressions or negative feelings, they take on a different meaning. Not that they are not negative, but they are negative in a different capacity. And they incorporate a different meaning to you at that point. And in that, they can coexist with that expression of love. This is a difficult direction for most individuals to accomplish, because one of the most difficult aspects is accepting that you are emotional beings and that your expressions are not always happy and joyful.
Mm-hmm.
That at times you are sorrowful, or at times you are irritated. And this, those expressions are equally as valuable as being joyful. And when you can move into the direction of the recognition that the entire spectrum of duplicity is beneficial and acceptable, that is a significant step in the direction of expressing that ability to genuinely flow in that expression of love.
That seems to, at least for me, that it would tie into seeing how everything is working perfectly.
Yes. And that regardless of what the expression is, it is purposeful.
Right.
And that it is not absolute, set in stone, which is another factor that is considerable, for there are many expressions, many subjects, many ideas that all of you automatically view in very absolute capacities. Once something is done, it is done. Once you generate a choice, that is the choice. If you generate a commitment, you must adhere to it. There are many expressions that you view in an absolute manner. And that is a significant step in awareness to genuinely recognize nothing is absolute.
Question on love, which I have some resistance to, and the idea of me going around expressing love all day long. unappealing. Is that just me?
It is not the expression of us.
Is it not the expression of what?
Not the expression of the Hare Krishnas.
Oh, okay. that's what I think. I think of like a monk going around.
Precisely, and I would express that Levinson did not do that.
Right.
And therefore, he provides an excellent example. For he was not presenting himself as a monk.
Mm-hmm.
And I would express to you that individuals that express in that type of capacity, such as the example of the Hare Krishnas,
mm-hmm.
that is not genuine love.
I figured.
It is not. For I would express that love is a genuine expression of knowing and appreciation, the combination of both, And in that, it is not necessarily a display.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not mean that you agree with everything or that you embrace everything.
Okay.
Or genuine love in that expression of knowing and appreciation honors everything. And if you are honoring everything, then you are honoring all guidelines. And guidelines very specifically generate those expressions of what you perceive to be, or what anyone perceives to be, as good, bad, right, and wrong. And genuine love accepts that.
Okay. How does contentment and joy factor into this satisfaction?
What I would express to you, first of all, is that joy is a feeling. Therefore, joy, in like manner to happiness, are momentary expressions. They are signals. They are not ongoing, maintained feelings. They are feelings, and therefore they are temporary or momentary and designed to be precisely what they are, signals. Contentment is not a feeling. Contentment is a state of being. Now, in that, contentment is expressed in those moments in which you are actually perceiving that everything in that moment is enough. That does not mean that you never want.
I've been rereading some of this, and the want is not from the lack, but from your interests.
Correct. Therefore,
which is not how I have always expressed want in the past.
Maintaining that state of being of contentment, and you can also want because you are expanding. And by your very nature, the more you maintain contentment, the more you bring to yourself, or the more you reach out to satisfaction. But in that, you are continuously changing and engaging directions and actions that allow you to create more, and therefore want is a factor in that.
Right, but it's not that I'm looking at my present situation and finding something I don't like, which is frequently what I do.
Or something that you don't have, but you perceive you need.
Right.
that is a significant difference also, is this terminology of need.
I noticed with the joy that it, I guess that ties into it being a feeling, that it requires, seems to require an action.
Yes. Yes. Or when you are engaging an action, a direction, you are doing, and therefore you are expressing an emotional communication in relation to what you are doing, validating what you are doing, and that creates the signal of joy.
Can you talk a little bit about the idea of action as it refers to intent? And what I mean is not in a for a specific intent, but if I think about this physical reality and the beliefs that we have, if you could talk about the role, because obviously you've clarified many times that, you know, you don't just sit in your office waiting for everything to come, you have to take an action. But clearly the action, the how the appropriateness or the success of that action is tied to your energy.
Yes. And it is tied to what you believe
and
your creativity, meaning your inventiveness. And inventiveness can be expressed in what you think of as very practical manners. They don't have to be imaginative. In this, it is a matter of engaging in the same manner that you already do in relation to any other subject that you accomplish. You generate steps. You do certain actions to accomplish what you want, or what you want to do, or where you want to be. And this, when you incorporate a want of some subject that you are pursuing, it is the same principle. Look at what you would do in another situation. What are the actions that you would do? That can give you a type of blueprint, in a manner of speaking. And from that blueprint, you can alter it in different capacities. But it is a matter of recognizing that action is an important part of what you are doing. Let us say, hypothetically, that you want...
I have an example.
Very well.
Let's say, I know you say it's not necessary, but let's say somebody just decided they wanted to make, you know, a lot of money, just for the fun of it.
Very well.
And you, so I'm sitting here, I'm like, I know I have to do something, but...
Yes. Now, in relation to your beliefs, you produce money by generating an action. And in relation to money, you produce money in association with an action that involves other individuals. You don't produce money out of the air. just as any physical manifestation for money, although it is not actually a physical manifestation in your reality any longer, but it has that connotation.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, in that, in the same capacity that anything that you produce that is a physical manifestation, you have to generate an action to do that. In relation to money, this is one physical manifestation that you require involving other individuals. You don't manifest money in the same manner that you build a cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
You can build a cabinet by yourself, and you don't require any other individual and their involvement. Money is a physical manifestation that requires involvement of other individuals. You don't do it alone. Therefore, you use what you are already doing as a blueprint. How do you make money now? You go to a job.
Mm-hmm.
Do a particular action. And because you do that action and you are involved with other individuals in that action, you are paid or you create money from that action. Now, that is your blueprint. You alter the methods of the blueprint, but you hold to the basic of it. In that, you recognize very well, in order to create money, I must involve other individuals, or at the very least one other individual,
mm-hmm.
and I must do some action that the other individual will thusly be involved and help me to create that physical money. Money is based in exchange. It is based in that idea, that philosophy, that construct of exchange. I do an action, you do an action. I do an action, your action is to give me that manifestation for the action that I do.
You know what, I think about this discussion is what might have been a better way to phrase my question, and we could do this another time, but it might have been a better way to phrase it is, how can I most efficiently inspire myself with ideas?
Pay attention to what you love. Do what you love. Engage what your passion is. And do it in your natural flow. And
Okay. Express
that when you do that, when you include those components in whatever you are doing in relation to money,
mm-hmm.
it increases it and increases it and increases it. it makes more and more and more.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much, Elias.
Very well. Let me express to you the reason that that is successful is because it is not work.
Right. And I think that'll be a topic we can ask about next time, is how to move into that.
Well, excellent. I will express tremendous encouragement to you, my friend, and a genuine acknowledgement of how well you are expanding. It is an inspiration.
Thank you very much.
Wondrous lovingness to you, my dear friend, and a great affection as always. Au revoir.
Goodbye.